The Workday Replay from Money FM 89.3. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3. This is Singapore's first business and personal finance station. Now, headquartered in Singapore, Proteotype Design Science Community is an open research lab and a de facto think tank which tests ideas and serves as a proving ground for concepts with potential for industry adoption, scaling and commercialization. Gregory Cornelius is the founder of Proteotype Design Science Community, and he brings his expertise in web design, news corporation management and media to the new world of IoT, augmented reality and media and design. Gregory, it's a pleasure to have you with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
So explain Proteotype. First of all, I'm curious about the name. Why not just Prototype?
Yeah, okay. So actually, I made that name up about 5 years ago, and I curated an exhibition as part of Sydney Design Festival back in 2014.
Designing what per se?
So we were looking at how technology has impacted the design process, how technology has impacted what designers do in their daily life. So that's sort of the software applications and things like that that are available now. And for that exhibition, I wanted to look at Internet of Things products. So this was just a category that we chose to look at, smart connected products. And as I was putting the show together, we realized that there weren't very many products in market at that time, and most of the products were actually prototypes. So we reached out and contacted every company that said, we've got an Internet of Things product at that time, and most of them were just prototypes. So we had to change the concept of the show to be about the prototyping process, and we simply put the two words together, Internet of Things, IoT, and prototype, and came up with that term, prototype.
I like it. I thought you just wanted to stick the I in the middle of prototype.
Yeah.
Give us an idea of what Proteotype, this design science community, does and what its purpose is.
Yeah, okay. So its purpose is to give people who are interested in design and technology opportunity to work on projects and concepts and ideas that they're interested in and meet kind of like-minded people. So it really is, it's a community. It's about individual people who are interested in design or technology, and also businesses, so companies who are interested in perhaps what's coming into the market, products and services that are about to come in the next few years.
How does it work, though? Can I just roll up with my, roughly put together toaster and ask you for some help?
Yes, you could. That's, that's exactly what you could do.
So okay.
The community tends to operate as events. They might be meetups or pop-up events or exhibitions, shows. We have a lab as well where we have some things installed. So if you did have a product idea and say it was some kind of internet-connected toaster, that's this kind of thing that you would bring along, and the community might be able to help you to move that to the next stage, or perhaps to integrate it with other components to build out, an Internet of Things or smart connected kitchen. That would be a very good example, yeah.
How important are spaces like Proteotype?
So I think they serve a purpose in helping people who are interested in these kind of things to connect. And again, it can be individuals who want to connect with like-minded people, or it can be companies who want to connect with other companies to see what can be done collectively. So it's about changing the mindset, and I think that's an important thing in today's kind of business and technology environment, is thinking, how do we change the way that we're thinking and working together? How do we move to a more collaborative, cooperative way of working, of sharing information, sharing knowledge, so that we can move forward to that next
step? What's the mindset now, you reckon, Gregory? People still sort of want to, companies still want to work in those silos? Yeah. My stuff is my stuff. Pause off.
That's right. So it's competition, and competition is a great thing for the economy, but sometimes for individual companies, competition can be their undoing. So companies can become very siloed, insular, lose touch perhaps with their customers, lose touch with their competitors, and sometimes this leaves companies and industries open to disruption, actually. So if you think of perhaps the media industry, where, if the company,
the onslaught is relentless here, Gregory, isn't it?
Yeah, there's media, there's plenty of others, hospitality as well, disrupted the taxi industry. And that's where the companies themselves are competing with their own industry rather than cooperating and collaborating. And that's what leaves those industries vulnerable to a competitor coming in. So we want to see, we'll work towards creating an environment where people can have that collaborative and cooperative approach to business and work and make them less vulnerable to disruption.
What's brewing at Proteotype now, Gregory? Are you able to tell us, or do people, you know, this is patented, please don't be telling anybody about
no,
it?
In fact, we're totally open, so there's no secrets at all. And that's one of the benefits of the community. But we're really, we'd like to experiment and try out new technological tools. And then, and it's really that area of play, if you like, around experimentation. So sometimes the business case is not clear, and this gives us an opportunity to just play with technology and see what's happening. So a couple of examples are with one academic institution here, we're trialing facial recognition technology for...
Gregory, yeah. That one's a bit of a loaded gun, isn't it? Double-edged sword.
Yeah, it is. So again, the community likes to explore these things. We will have those ethical debates. So we'll try the technology out in a protected kind of space, and then we'll look at what has happened and what are the other conversations that need to come out of it. And this is why Proteotype is also part theoretical as well as practical. Yes, we like to get the internet-connected toaster and play around with it, right, and see what it can do. But then we also think about what are the implications of that technology. So facial recognition, part of that study will be understanding what are individual people's concerns around that technology.
Do those ethical discussions go anywhere thereafter?
I hope so. For what we would tend to do is publish some sort of report, actually. So we'll give it proper consideration and then, share our point of view and make that available to anybody else who might be interested.
Gregory, in your opinion, whatever's brewing right now over at Proteotype, do they have real-world applications to them?
Yes. So some of the companies we work with might have products that are just a little bit ahead of the market. And we've seen over the last few years that those companies' products have come through and been commercialized and been adopted widely. So I guess when we say we're that proving ground, it's about helping companies and individuals to understand what is the effectiveness and use of their products and how might they fit into some kind of ecosystem. And sure, we're seeing those things deployed out in the real world.
In your experience, though, what helps the ones get to market and what doesn't help the ones that fail, so to speak? The differences between the two?
It's a good question. It's kind of the million-dollar question, isn't it?
I know. Well, best to ask the expert,
yeah, okay.
Right, Gregory?
I think it's about product market fit, and it's the products that actually solve a problem or help people to do what they want to do. And I think one of the other things I've noticed over the years is a lot of the killer applications are about communication. So we think
connecting people, and those
killer apps over the years have been email, short message systems, social media, and so on. So that's kind of a common theme. If you're helping people to go about doing what they want to do, then you've got a greater chance of success.
Why is this space important to you personally?
I personally, it grew out of a frustration of not being able to work on projects that I was really interested in at work. Okay, and so sometimes our customers need to buy those things that are important for them in their business right now, and they may not be the things that are coming down the line. So we had to create this opportunity to experiment and play with those technologies that are a little bit forward-looking.
Didn't quite grow up, did you, Gregory?
No.
Still tinkering around with stuff like you were when you were a kid.
Yeah.
Talk to us about what was discussed at the recently concluded IoT Asia. Mm. What interesting things came up?
Yeah, so IoT Asia, it's probably the fifth or sixth year for IoT Asia. And I think over the years, I've been involved with the conference for 4 or 5 years. And I think over the years, we've begun to see the conversation shift a little bit. So this year, rang out to me was people starting to talk about, again, the use cases of the technology, where IoT, which industries it's particularly useful for. So IoT as a technology doesn't belong to any particular industry vertical, right? It's a horizontal kind of technology, and it's more relevant for some industries than others. So we heard that start to come through clearly. Yeah.
For example?
The industries that are more suitable are those like aviation industry, which have had a long kind of association with IoT, and the others are kind of struggling to establish the value, I think. So we just have a technology that's trying to push its way in, and maybe not a value, or there's no demand driver there from some industries. So the conversation is starting to move now to think about other areas. Why is that the case? So why is it that there's no value for some industries, or they're struggling to find the value? How do they extract the value from the industries where it is relevant? And then what are the implications of all of these other emergent technologies such as AI and facial recognition and so on?
And AR too, and VR, et cetera.
Yeah, which is an area which is particularly interesting. I can imagine. The prototype, actually, yeah.
What's disrupting the media, you reckon? We were talking a wee bit about it earlier.
Yeah. So
can IoT help us? Can VR help us? Can AR help us?
Maybe. I think so. I have a background in media for many years.
Hence I ask.
Yeah. That's a really difficult question. I would say that media companies need to understand the technology that's coming down the line over the next few years, and ought to be playing and experimenting and see what they can do, and ought to be cooperating together. So the things I'd be looking at now, if I was in the media industry, I'd be looking at what you can do with this increasing bandwidth that's going to come with 5G telecommunications. Think about what are the new mediums that might evolve, particularly around communication between people. So again, that's your killer application, is something to do with communication. As these new tools come on board, I think it's more AR than it is VR. How can we help people to communicate? And in the media industry, that's about connecting companies with customers, or connecting community, connecting citizens with one another. What will these new tools enable? And so the question I would have for media companies is, what are you doing to learn and explore these new technologies and implications of them?
See, expert advice coming up from prototype.com. Gregory Cornelius is founder there. You can check them out at prototype.com. It's prototype.com. Gregory, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.